I lived there until I graduated from high school. When I went to the University of Idaho Law School, located in Moscow, Idaho. I stayed there 3.5 years. Was admitted to the Idaho Bar in 1924. And I worked in law offices in Nez Perce, Idaho, and Grangeville, Idaho, until 1927 when I came to Alaska.
Did you graduate from law school?
Or no.
No. Did you go to any kind of undergraduate school at all? Were there any?
Well, at that time, they were probably 1 year pre-legal. But you were first out of some law subjects, and that's all I took.
When you, so the Idaho Bar didn't require that you finish law school?
It required that you finish law school and that you furnish certificates of competency. I had a group of lawyers in North Carolina, second marriage also.
Were they lawyers that you had worked for?
Worked
with? In Idaho?
Yes, no, not in the legal field.
Oh, in what field?
I don't want to answer that.
Okay. When you were in Idaho, what kind of law did you practice? You said you worked with...
It was a farming country, cattle and wheat. And did the usual things that farm, water serving farming do. Times were very bad.
And were they mostly bankruptcies? Or did you... deal with contracts? Do you remember?
Well, I don't know about bankruptcy. But they were being taken over by banks, and they couldn't, held meetings with their creditors and doing the things that small business people do when they're getting financial trouble.
So who did you represent? The farmers? Did you represent the banks?
The farmers.
How long did you do this? How long were you?
2 years.
Where did you go from there?
Went to first to Juneau and then for 7 days or 6 days and then to Ketchikan.
Why did you decide to go to Alaska?
Well, I thought it was time for me to move around. I wasn't going too well. Time for a band. Most of the farmers couldn't get the service. It generally wasn't a prosperous area at that time. I thought I could do better in Alaska.
Had you known anybody who'd been to going to Alaska or who had worked in Alaska that made you come up? How had you heard that it would be better in Alaska?
Didn't have any particular friends or associates that had been in Alaska. But when I was at this person brings up, that was mining country also. A former mining country, worked out mines and some activity. And I visited mining law. And I thought there'd be a chance in that field in Alaska.
How did you travel?
To
by boat?
I took a train to Seattle. And I moved to Southeast Alaska.
How long were you in Southeast? How long did it take you to travel for one? How long?
It took 48 hours from Seattle to Ketchikan and another 24 hours to Juneau.
So it took 48 hours to get from Seattle
to Ketchikan? 2 days
on the boat. When you arrived in Juneau, did you stay there for a while?
Only about 60 days.
What did you do in Juneau?
Not much of anything.
What was the city like?
It was, the Alaska Juneau mine was the big entity there. The mine is right in town and employed more people than all the town put together. And incidentally, they were Idaho people, and the mine owned the Idaho people.
Which people? And were Idaho people?
Name was D.
Is that D?
I don't know. People in the mining business.
Oh. It was at D-A-Y, Jay?
If I don't know who it was. Okay.
What else was Juno like? What was Juno like at the time? Besides just being, I mean...
The weather was just like it is now.
I can...
The mine was a large operation, and the community was pretty well dominated by the mining. With the capital.
Mm-hmm.
There were other smaller properties and other operations now, the two build properties, but they were all closed out from the beginning of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And never reopened.
What year did you arrive in Juneau?
1927.
Did you make contact with any people? Did you meet any people in Juneau?
I have some letters of introduction. The legislature was in session when I got there.
Oh, it was.
And I had some letters from some people, lawyers and other people out in this part of Alaska. Now, I didn't do much of anything. I worked part-time in the United States Marshal's Office.
What did you do there?
Well, everything. I'm a handyman, and sometimes I was a guard at the jail.
Did you go out after criminals or anything like that?
No.
Did you work mostly in a jailhouse or a courthouse?
Yes, courthouse.
What, there was a courthouse there at that time?
Yes, had been at my area.
Was it, go ahead, were you?
No.
It was one building for everything, is that? One building for the court and the jail?
Well, there were some annexes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, substantially, it was under one roof.
Mm-hmm. Is it still there?
No.
Where was it?
It was on the hill, a high spot in the hill.
The court.
And the building was torn down, the hill too, I think. Are you afraid it was doing?
Mm-mm.
It's approximate location where the present everybody is. But I didn't know the reason I didn't come back.
So they actually tore down the hill too?
Yes. Part of it at least.
Uh-huh. What did Juno look like? What did the city look like?
Well, it was just an ordinary mining town. Of course, there was fishing there too, and some fishing at the headquarters there. And the court system, the judge, the location of the first judicial division, the first judicial division justice that is now.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember who the judge was?
Oh, yeah.
When you, who?
Tom Reed, Judge Thomas Reed.
What else did it, can you describe the town more? Was it horse and buggy, or was it, did they have?
No, they had some cars, but I remember they weren't any horse and buggy. I think the drays used horses. Gilroy Cole and that type of thing.
What are the drays?
What?
Are the drays?
Dray, D-R-A-Y. People haul things from river coal and wood and household goods and so forth.
No.
Transferred the transfer. I thought it was another word. Deliver the coal and the ice and groceries and whatever the rest of the river. I think they some of the work around.
Mm-hmm. So how many people were in Juneau, about?
2,000 or 4,000, I think. 3,000, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was landlocked. There was no road access, and there was no airplanes and airplanes. So all transportation was going on there. And two steamship companies that served Alaska, south of Juneau.
What were the
two? Alaska Steamship Company and Admiral and the Admiral Line. I think they call that Pacific Coast Company.
So the Admiral Line was from the Pacific Coast,
yes.
Company, is that?
Yeah. The Alaska Steamship Company was owned by the Guggenheims, who also owned and operated the mine at Kennecott.
Mm-hmm.
And the source of the revenue from the southbound revenue was shipping out of concentrated ore. Concentration was reduced at Kennecott, shipped out to the port of Cordova.
So the Alaska Steamship Company wasn't much of a passenger line then? Was it mostly commercial? Was it mostly?
Well, it was commercial. It was larger than that now. Yes, it was a bigger operation than that. Both as a freight and passenger, but it had southbound freight carrying it, and the other didn't have any kind of company.
Oh, it didn't have What did the other line carry mostly?
Well, it carried incoming cargo, like we needed. We just cut off our supplies, building materials, and buying coal for fuel, and the ordinary thing that we shipped by railroad, but it did have a substantial southbound cutting from probably the other.
Oh, it did? What?
Generated by the mine at Kennecott that they owned. They were mine, they were shipped. For the treatment outside.
Mm-hmm. But the other line didn't have southbound.
We're going to have going with the railroad, the steamship company, and the railroad and the mine.
Okay. Yeah. But they didn't own the second.
No.
The second steamship company, or the second.
They eventually bought it.
Oh, they did.
A year later.
About when did they buy it?
Oh, I don't know. I'd say I referred to more World War II, I meant World War I.
Oh, when the mines closed? Did they close at World War I? They didn't.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, what was your last question then?
When did the Guggenheims buy the second steamship line?
I think in the 40s.
In the 40s. Yeah. Who would own them?
The Guggenheims.
The other line, though?
Oh, no, I don't know. They were San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just part of a large steamship operation up in the service line. Not with these boats, but... I probably think we've been talking about that, but I forgot now.
They have other boats that went to the Hawaiian Islands, is that?
Oh, I think they served the same as Alaska.
Yeah. Was there anything in Juneau that wasn't shipped in? It sounds like they were shipping in coal and food and
fish.
Fish. Is that the only thing? Is that
anything? Well, we just needed one thing with the air. I found the local market, had a local market. And it was a substantial fishing port. Oh, I think it was about as big as mine at that time.
Mm-hmm. So fishing wasn't that important at that time, is that?
Well, it was secondary to mining.
Mm-hmm. Were there big commercial fishing fleets out then, or were there just small operators?
Yes, commercial, yes, they were commercial.
Well, were there any large operations? I think that's...
Well, most of these boats delivered their catch to a shore-based facility where they were canned or frozen or dried.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of them had that open. If any, at that time, had a mobile or a processing facility. Quite a few of them do now, but as now, they're delivered mostly to the shore plants or to maintain the shore. You know, I had two perhaps three. Process of that small one.
Mm-hmm. So it was a small industry at that time.
And a small place, too.
A small place. Can you tell me more about Juneau at all? Other companies that were there? Were there any other? What were the markets like? What were...
I don't think there's anything outstanding about them. They're just the usual thing that you find in a small town. Of course, you had now adverse weather and high wind and deep snow,
mm-hmm.
which were a factor in keeping the streets open and And we're just keeping it, you know, stocks are good and stocks on hand.
Were there mostly men in Juneau? Were there any women?
Oh, yes, there were, but they had men outnumbered women. My record was substantial.
Mm-hmm. Were you married before you came up, or did you get married after you?
I got married in Ketchikan.
In Ketchikan. Before we get to Ketchikan, who of the bar were in Juneau when you first arrived? Do you remember?
Well, there was nobody practicing law in Alaska. It was in Alaska when I came there.
There was no one practicing law?
No one now.
Oh, no one now. Well, tell me about the ones who aren't alive.
Who aren't alive?
Yeah, the people who were really prominent in the bar at that time.
Are you talking about Ketchikan or Juneau?
Juneau. Let's start with Juneau.
Well, Judge Reed was a judge, Thomas M. Reed. He'd been at Noel. Was there at the time of mine litigation, which led to the term of squatters, which he probably committed with.
Mm-hmm. Was he there after Noyes? Is that?
He was in there during that time, part of that time.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was, when the administration changed in the 20s, when the party was elected and president, he was appointed district judge in southeast Alaska. I don't believe that Juneau had a headquarters in Juneau and made trips within the 2 year to catch a camp before sessions of the court.
Was Reed in Nome, was he a judge in Nome? Or was he a marshal or a district attorney?
He was a lawyer.
Yeah. Who else was in Juneau at this time?
Now, if you want to, Reed has a daughter here. She might not work in the and she's a stepmother, she's a foster daughter.
In Anchorage?
Yes. Her name is Misha, V-M-E-T-I-A, Harm, H-A-H-M, I think that's the name.
Okay.
She was 40 or 50 years in the court system. She retired in the last 10 years. She retired from the district, from the employee of the district clerk's office here in Anchorage. 8 or 10 years ago, I'd say. Her name was Anthony, her father's name. He rejected customs. He was lost his ground on the Savile, saying, A-V-I-A, the British steamship Penny, sank near Juneau and lost all hands, remember, the Apache vessel.
What was it? How did you spell it?
Savile, S-A-V-I-A, no, that's just how it sounds, that's not the way to spell it.
Was it Savoy, S-A-V-O-Y?
No. British ship, Indian ship.
When did it sink?
Oh, before 19, before the 20s, I'd say in the 15s, on 15, 20.
Were they all British passengers? Is that?
No, he wasn't a British.
He was a true collector of customs.
No, the British steamship companies were more active than they are now. They shipped great passengers out of Vancouver and Victoria for South Eastern Coast.
Did they come regularly to Alaska?
Well, it's in the schedule vessel.
Mm-hmm. When did they stop coming?
I'm surprised they have stopped, doesn't it? I think they said more direct words than you.
Did they?
I think so.
Yeah.
I know they did. But, are you a lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Jones Act, which is a settled so much controversy in those days, prohibited foreign vessels from hauling cargo off one place in the United States to another place in the United States,
mm-hmm.
except Alaska. So under the Jones Act provision and saving clause, by the Canadian vessels were able to handle the people of the American freight.
From here.
That did not, the U.S. when it was repealed, finally repealed the Stabler Act.
Mm-hmm.
It was in existence for 60 years at least.
Were there any real competition to the Guggenheim interests? Were they?
They didn't cross the Gulf.
Okay. So they didn't come up?
They didn't come up.
Yeah.
They just served southeast from
Alaska. Mm-hmm. Did they have southbound cargo? Or did they just have passengers and bring things up?
I don't
up?
Believe they did. You see, like fish products, they didn't go to Seattle. They didn't go to take their voyage to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
The American, one of the fish products, the processed fish, and we'd have to then take them by other means on into Seattle.
Yeah.
And we found it more convenient, which we just take an American vessel back to Seattle or Tacoma.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah. So whatever southbound cargo they'd have, it would have had to be things that the Canadians would
right.
use.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. What other attorneys were up here at that time in Juneau?
Henry Roden was actually the Attorney General in Waterman. Was active there at that time.
Is that
R-O-D-E-N.
R-O-D-E-N.
Bob Robertson, Ralph, R.E. Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
Who's son-in-law. He's carried on the business under the firm name of
that's Robertson.
Robertson, he's selling out of money.
Right. Is there anybody related to Henry Roden around?
No, I mean, Henry Roden had no children.
No children.
He's married.
Did he develop the mining laws? Was
he wrote on the subject.
He did.
Yeah, he's a little. He said in one pamphlet, he was active, very, very active in mining
troubles. How? What did he do? Did he go to miners' meetings, or did he?
And mining some money for his clients, I would say. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to. He was anyway. He'd been in the interior.
Mm-hmm. Is that where he developed his mining law?
Yes.
Did most people use it? Did people use, like, did he develop any standards or?
Oh, not particularly. Just not anything.
Mm-hmm. Were there courts for it, or did they do it out of court?
Well, both. This is a good one. H.L. Faulkner was a well-established attorney there. And that's carried on under the name of Faulkner Manfield and the next three of them.
Yeah.
They have an IRS officer.
Mm-hmm.
River Wind. That's the law, you know.
Is that W-I-N?
His family had been in jail since the childhood. Somebody, family relatives, I said relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's more than I can remember right now.
Was George Wickersham down there?
Wickersham, yes, Wickersham was living there.
Wickersham
was living there. Jim Wickersham.
Jim, right, James Wickersham.
James the Terrible.
James the Terrible? Why did they call him that?
Well, it was his political opponents. He was actually a politician.
Uh-huh.
It's been a pretty fair book. They mentioned that way. He's written a book about him. It's not too bad.
I've read it. Did you meet Wickersham? Did you?
Knew him very well.
What was he like?
Like a politician.
What do you mean when you say like a politician?
Well, he was a very forceful fellow. Very quarrelsome fellow, too. But he had been in all parts of Alaska. Established the court system in the Greenback State. Served a delegate to Congress for a 5-term of 10 or 12 years. 10 or 12 years. I don't know what else he did.
Did he talk about all the things he'd done?
Oh, frequently. He wrote some articles on it, too. He has a...
A niece.
Yeah, a niece.
Yeah.
In general.
Coffin? Is that?
Ruth.
I can...
She's apparently... I think she's tried to write something, by the way, too. Ruth Coffin, I guess.
Yeah. He must have been fairly old when you knew him. Is that in 27?
Yes, he was in his 65.
Oh, that's nice. From her book, you know, she makes his...
Well, he died about in the 30s, didn't he?
30? Yeah.
Oh, yes. He was probably doing social media when he died.
But he had all his faculties when you...
Oh, yes.
When you saw him.
He was active in the practice.
What kind of practice was he doing?
Anything you could get. General practitioner saw him.
He didn't have any steady clients?
Well, I don't remember. Helen's always from the airport. Helen's on. Jack and Zeus and Cy. Cy and John's father are here too.
Were they both in Juneau?
Yes.
Cy and Jack?
Jack came here from I sit there in the lot that I got down the new camp. And Cy came here directly. John was born there. Yes.
What kind of practice? Well, what?
They went to the Alaska General Mining
Committee. Oh, they did? What about Grover Wynn? What kind of practice did he have?
Criminal defense. Bootlegging, depending. Bootleggers was a big business in those days.
Oh, it was. Did they it was prohibition, was that?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it enforced?
Well, they didn't stop drinking.
Mm. Was there any serious enforcement, or it was just...
Oh, yes, yes, they had enforcement agents. Oh, yes. Apparently, the court counties were crowded with criminal cases. Mm-hmm. The county had two assistants. Very large percentage of the business had to do with that. Yes, one way or another, I remember it was against the law of some of the media.
Yeah, right. Who was the district attorney at the time?
Howard Saber.
Is that S-A-B-E-R?
S-C-A-B-L-E-R. And one time, George Fuller was an assistant. And he had a daughter here in town. And her name is Witherspoon. Claire, he works in law for legal, for the legal secretary.
Was George Folta here when you came up?
He was here when you came up.
Was he in Juneau?
Yes.
When you arrived?
Yes.
Yeah. He was an assistant district attorney then? Or?
Yes.
Where is he from?
I think he came from Puget Sound somewhere, I think.
From where?
Puget Sound.
Oh, Puget Sound.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He was actually a district judge.
Yeah.
Whipperman, Tara Whipperman.
What kind of practice did Faulkner have?
Well, he didn't have criminal affairs, I don't think. So it was mostly general practice, probate, mining law.
Did most of the attorneys who were in a general practice handle mining law? Was that?
Yes.
Is that a?
Yes, they all did.
Mm-hmm. So Robertson did too?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes.
Did either of these, did Robertson or Faulkner have firms at that time?
No.
Neither? They were both sole practitioners?
No.
Mm-hmm. When did they start getting any kind of fish business? Any kind of...
They had some fish business.
Commercial. So they did then too?
Yeah.
All of them or Robertson?
All of them.
Except for George Wynn, who, criminal defense?
No.
Trevor Wynn, yeah, sorry. Were there any other criminal defense attorneys?
Roden and Wynn had some kind of a loose arrangement, and then they had a firm name and joined a law office. And two of them had criminal cases. They weren't specialists in that field, I would say. You know, practitioners have a sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Were there any specialists at the time, or any of the attorneys?
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah. Did both the Hellenthals do mining law? Is
yes,
that
they did. This is a big account there, of course. Two of them left them in business for a minor and supervisory persons at that time.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the other attorneys in town?
George Gregory was either there or in Ketchikan, one way or the other. I don't know which. I don't remember whether they came there. No, he was in Ketchikan. He was in there later.
Was Norm Banfield in town yet?
No, I think Norman came in the 30s. support and work for me about that. And one or two others, I think, but I don't know who they were. The little fellow from Skagway, and Skagway was there.
Who had people that written you letters of recommendation? Who did they write them to? Did they write them to any people in particular that they knew?
One was written to Jerry Reed, I think. I was. You don't want to be here. It was very difficult for me. I stayed in Juneau for 60 days.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I realize.
But I spent 50 years since then going back and forth in Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you sometimes when I'm talking about
the yeah.
Part of this.
In those 60 days, what did you do?
I'm looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I worked for the marshal.
Who was the marshal?
Al White, his name was. I had letters, record letters to him. He had lived in Gainesville, Iowa. That's where I was.
Did you have to take the Alaska bar? You never did. Oh. Who moved that you be admitted? Who was the one?
Lester Gore.
Lester Gore. Did is this when you were in Ketchikan?
Yeah.
After let's go to Ketchikan. These are my clothes. When you arrived in Ketchikan, had you already talked to somebody? What made you decide to go to Ketchikan?
Well, I thought there was more activity there than to a much larger fish operation conducted out there. It was generally had some mining prospects. It was considered to be kind of the commercial area, the largest commercial area. Prosperous commercial area. But I went down there around during the month of September. I got married in October. I went to Hyder in December.
My God.
So that was 2 years. So I didn't spend a lot of time in Pittsburgh either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. And I came back in April of 1929.
This was September of 28 before that you went to Ketchikan?
27.
September of 27. Okay. Let me just stop you for a minute. Did you meet your wife in Ketchikan?
No. I didn't have any children.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. She was from Eastern Washington.
She was what?
From Eastern Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so you, did you go up with her?
Grew up with her.
Grew up with her. How did she get to Alaska?
Well, these boats are telling me about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the animal line boat. I've been on for a while.
Did you send for her? Or did,
yes.
Oh, you did?
You did.
Had you made plans before you left?
Well,
that she would...
I don't know about that. We don't have some communication.
By telephone? By letter?
They didn't have to come to our radio. All my letter by mail.
So she came up to meet you in Ketchikan. That must have been some letter you sent her.
Oh, yes. Yes.
In Ketchikan, you said that there were, it was a prosperous commercial area. Did you know then that you wanted to get into some kind of commercial practice? Is that?
Well, that's what I had no idea. But, Judge Reed reactivated the commissioner's office according to mining and recording commissioner's office and appointed me as the commissioner for the judge.
So December 1st, 1927, you were commissioner at Hyder.
Right.
You're right. What kind of cases did you hear?
Well,
What do you mean?
Well, it didn't develop.
I don't understand. No.
Well, you know, prospectors will develop. Okay, lots of mining projects. One of them. Just a fraction of them will develop into commercial properties. Another in the 9/10 or so just kind of wither out and fade away. How do you want to do that?
How do they determine which ones they're going to develop and which ones?
That's the mining engineers do that kind of work. These are prospectors.
So they wouldn't even know?
Oh, yes, they would.
Oh, they would?
They'd take samples. Hyder has a tremendous snowfall in the area. 30 or 40 feet. Not that much on the level, but that much would fall right in the area. And they hold up in the town a lot of snow, two people under the work. Hard rock mining, not fashion.
What's the difference?
Hard rock is the mine. You find the ore body, you have to treat it to get the ore out. Fashion mine is found in the gravel and the pigments. It's require additional processing. It sits it out, it's old and small. So it's nuggets, small and small bodies. Whereas in the hard rock mine, it goes through a furnace.
So they had smelters at Hyder?
No, they did not.
Oh, they didn't?
Well, it was shipped to the smelter in Vancouver and one in Tacoma, Washington. Smelter's a big operation. That's what it is, a large thing. Hyder would not produce that thing. It never has produced that. They had some rich mines there.
So when you were there during the strike, how did that affect the mining operations?
What do you think I meant when I said strike?
Oh, they made a strike.
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking of a labor strike. That's terrible. And you've even said that to me before, you know, that they had a strike at Hyder, and I realized that they had a gold strike, and for some reason, So in Hyder, what kind of cases can you give an example of the kind of disputes that would arise after?
Mining disputes over claim boundaries. Religious locations. Various things.
Did you have to go out a lot and actually look at the sites and see? Or did you do most of your deciding in a courtroom?
Oh, I didn't.
Did you have a courthouse?
No.
What did you use?
Well, the first one was there. Well, we had the store building. The next spring it was remodeled a little bit, except for the living quarters. I have an office joint, second two floor of the office joint, where I got my books and everything and where I go to court.
Mm-hmm. How many people were in Hyder?
Well, I think there was close to 1,000 when we made that first winter. It gradually decreased in the next 4 or 5 years. But, of course, it's right on the boundary line. They, half the towns of Alaska and half the bridge from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another Canadian community a couple of miles away. So I'm talking about the American section. The Canadian section is always bigger. The Thomas should get more than all the weather.
Were there ever disputes between whether it was on American land or Canadian land?
Not too much. Was that had all been marked out and the boundary had been established and money was included. It wasn't, it was trouble sometimes, but if you went into the mining country, you crossed back and forth across the boundary line.
Mm-hmm.
The boundary line didn't run through the trails and the roads or anything on the straight course. And there were some disputes. And of course, the upper where the wealthy, the better Canadian prospects were. You couldn't go from Canada to the United States.
Well, I remember the road came up here like this. And this part of Canada.